You'd like to turn with me this morning to the Gospel according to John chapter 19. John chapter 19 and the first part of verse 30. John chapter 19, verse 30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." That is our subject this morning. Those three words, "It is finished." It is finished. What do these words mean? Tremendous words. We could speak for many hours on just those three words. But well, we only have a brief time before us. And really, we're only going to touch very briefly on these words, but they will help us in our thinking, and God willing, the Spirit will enable us to draw near to God as we consider these things. Well, we have just read an account from the Gospel according to John of the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ, that which occurred almost 2,000 years ago outside the city walls of Jerusalem. And well, we thank the Lord that there is this day that the world has set apart to remember this great event. And of course, this is a great event. The Lord Jesus Christ, well, he is the focal point of Christianity. But the focal point of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ is his death. That is what we ought to focus on, put all our attention upon, and seek to understand. It is a great tragedy that perhaps this day, in these days more than ever, people know about the Lord Jesus Christ, about his words, about his miracles, but they don't seem to understand why Christ died. They don't understand that. They don't grasp that. But that's the most important thing. If you don't understand that, well, then the Christian faith cannot profit you. There is no benefit, if I can put it that way, in the Christian faith. No lasting benefit, no eternal benefit, if you don't understand why Christ died. So we have to understand it if we are to have true spiritual life and eternal blessing. The Lord Jesus Christ saying here, "It is finished." Now, these are not the very last words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not the very last. The last words are recorded in the Gospel, according to Luke. "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." Those were the last words of the Lord Jesus Christ. But these are almost the last words. They indicate finality, of course. It is finished. And well, they come at the end of his ordeal, the death of the cross. What a terrible death that was. What a dreadful sentence that was to be passed by the Roman authorities. It was a way of execution that was reserved for the worst criminals. The worst criminals were to be crucified. Not that the Lord Jesus Christ was a criminal at all. We read earlier that Pontius Pilate, who was charged to pass sentence on him, could find no fault in him at all. Absolutely no fault. He hadn't committed any crime. But nevertheless, well, the crowd baying for his blood, Pilate has to give in, has to submit, and he goes to the cross. But the cross was a dreadful way to die. Criminals crucified on the cross were led out of the city, as we know. They were stripped of their clothes when they got to that place of execution, and they were nailed to the cross, and there they were left to die. And crucifixion, well, it was a long and a painful death. On average, somebody who was crucified, well, it would take them about 36 hours to finally die. Normally they would die of hunger and exhaustion, but it was a long and painful death. The whole body was in excruciating pain. such strain upon the body and the internal organs, the arteries of the heart almost bursting. Well, these things were terrible. And 36 hours was the average time in which somebody died. Sometimes it would be longer. Sometimes it would go on perhaps for 9 or 10 days on the cross in great agony. But these things were so terrible. And this was what the Lord Jesus Christ had to endure. Of course, sometimes the death would be hastened by the breaking of the legs. And we read that this is what happened to the two thieves who were crucified with the Lord Jesus Christ. It was to hasten their death, the breaking of the legs. But it didn't happen to the Lord Jesus Christ. He did not have to have his legs broken because he was already dead. His ordeal only lasted 6 hours. Well, I say only because on the cross he was suffering an eternal punishment for us all. But we'll consider those things. But in earthly terms, he was on the cross for 6 hours. But his death, well, it was unlike any other crucifixion. No other criminal who had been crucified on the cross was like this man, this Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. During those 6 hours, well, for 3 of those hours, the whole earth, as it were, was in darkness. Not because it was nighttime, not because it was midnight, it was midday. But the sun inexplicably had darkened, had blackened itself, as it were. There was darkness over the whole land. That had never happened for any crucifixion, for any person. In the middle of the day, there was darkness. The sun hid itself, as it were. We read also in the gospel accounts that the very earth quaked. There was an earthquake of some sort, and the rocks split open, or they ruptured, or something like that. And these things, well, these were tremendous signs. Such was the importance of this man's death. All these signs attended him. And well, there were other things that happened that marked this death out as unusual or exceptional. We read that the Lord Jesus Christ, even in his agony, had concern for his mother, who was at the foot of the cross. In his pain and agony, he had the wherewithal to look upon his mother and instruct his disciple to look after her. You take her in. Earlier on, even when he was being nailed to the cross, he was heard to say, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." What other criminal could possibly have said that while being nailed to the cross? "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." This is unlike any other death. And well, we read also in other gospel accounts that he is able to give comfort to one of those who died alongside him, the dying thief. He is able to comfort him and say to him, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." In paradise. This is not an ordinary man. This is no ordinary death. No wonder the Roman centurion who was underneath the cross said with great assurance, "Surely this was the Son of God." And he was. He was the Son of God. But these things we shall all consider. These are tremendous things. I have to say these just by way of introduction. But if you go home this afternoon and read these accounts and think upon these things, they will be a great blessing to your soul. But well, I said we were going to focus on these three words. It is finished. So let's do that. Well, it is finished. When we say words like these, "it is finished," normally they're words of sadness. They're words of grief. Normally we don't like things to finish in our lives. We lament things that are finished in our lives. Say, for example, you go on some nice holiday. You take a time of rest, relaxation. Well, you don't ever want to come to the end of it. You don't ever want to come to the last day and say, it is finished. That's sadness for you. And where we lament times in our lives that have been and gone, those of us who are older, where we look upon our school years, we remember all the fun that we had in our school years, but with sadness we know that it is finished. It's never going to come back. We don't rejoice that it's finished. We lament about these things. Our school years, possibly our university years, our youth. We lament that those years when we were youthful, when we were fresh, those are all finished. Those are all gone. And while you see this in popular culture, you think of all these sports stars, all these football players, they're young and fresh, they have such glory, they have so much money, but then there comes a time sooner or later when their careers are finished. Finished relatively early, in fact. They're gone. It is finished. And these things, well, we often say these in a lamentable way. Sometimes things can be finished before we want them to be finished. Sometimes we can have untimely ends. We think that things are going to go on forever and ever and ever, but they don't. You think again, well, if I take another sporting illustration, a great football player, sometimes they can have their career stopped just when it looks promising, some great injury. And well, people will say, oh, we had all that talent, but he's had this injury, it's finished now. It's all finished. He'll never be able to fulfill his potential. And you hear about these so many times in culture, in the news, not just sports stars, film stars, pop stars who lose their lives, some of them. Some of them die so young, and everybody's going, what a shame. They had all that talent, all that life ahead of them, but now it is finished. And while many people thought this to be the case with the Lord Jesus Christ, they mourned over his death. They thought, this is it, it's finished. They had such great hopes for the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. Well, his ministry, his preaching ministry, was only 3 years old when he went to the cross. There was so much ahead of him, it appeared. The Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody had heard about him, about the words that he spoke. Those words that were so full of truth and grace. Well, of course they were, because he was the only begotten Son of God. He was divine. He was fully man and fully God. He was from God. He was of God. He was God, the second person of the Trinity, of the triune Godhead. That is who he was. And so, of course, his words were not like any other man's words. No man spake like this man. And everybody said that. Of course, there were also his healings, his miracles. And I'm not talking about healings that are debatable healings. Healings that might not actually be healings, like we see nowadays in churches. These were unmistakable healings. The deaf were actually able to hear again. The blind were actually able to see. Lepers were cleansed. The dead were risen from the grave. This was unmistakable. Nothing compared to what we see today. This was incomparable. And the people again of the time, well, they would say, we never saw it on this wise. There were many imposters, many people at the time of Christ, pretending that they were the Messiah. We are the Messiah. Follow us. But well, this was the Messiah. Because when they saw what he did, what he said, they knew, we've never seen it like this before. There have been many people claiming to be the Messiah, and they've done some certain tricks and said some things, but we've never seen it like this. Not like this, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they had such high hopes for him. They believed that the Messiah, when he came, he would lead the Jewish nation out of oppression. Well, the Romans ruled them at this time. They believed that when Messiah came, He would lead them. They would be the supreme nation. They would overcome all their foes. He would be a great conqueror. And well, they would live in great peace and joy and happiness forever. God's people. But now look what's happened. He's gone to the cross. How could this have possibly happened? All our hopes pinned on the Savior. We thought genuinely that he was the one. And now, well, it's all over. It's finished, isn't it? He's going to the cross, a shameful death. It's not even as though he's going out in a blaze of glory. He's not going out fighting his way. He's going out in this weak way, in this shameful way, like a lamb being led out to the slaughter. Surely it's finished. They lamented these things, an untimely death. That exactly is what they thought, and many would have been thinking, what was the point of it all? What was the point of the Lord Jesus Christ coming in this way, showing such wonderful things, if he will now only die at the very end? Well, is that not the question that we often ask of ourselves? What is the point of life? Many of us, well, we live very prosperous lives, lives of great success, of great comfort. We achieve very much in our lives. We earn a lot of money. We achieve status and rank and wealth. But there is always that time, and it will come to you if it hasn't already, when you will ask yourself, what was the point of it all? When you draw near to the end, to the finishing point, what is the point of all this that we do, of all that we seek to achieve? So many philosophers have asked this question down through the history of time. They've never answered it. What is the meaning of life? Nobody has found the right solution to those things. It's an unending quest. But well, that is if you don't ever find the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who find the Lord Jesus Christ, they know what the point of their life is. They understand what the point of their life is, what the meaning of their life is. You read any Christian testimony, you ask any Christian person, before they were saved, they didn't know. They were lost just like everybody else. They were wandering from one thing to the next. Is this the meaning of life? Is that the meaning of life? If I take this job, will this give meaning to my life? And they would find that it didn't at all. It fell so far short. But then they found the Lord Jesus Christ. They read the Word of God. They heard the Gospel. They found the Lord Jesus Christ. And they knew that that was what they were looking for. They knew that their search was over. They don't need to keep looking for the meaning of life, for the purpose of life. It was finished. They'd found the Lord Jesus Christ. They knew what the meaning of their life was. They didn't need to keep wandering from one thing to the next. It is finished, that searching, that seeking, when we find the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I have said, when we understand his death. But what is it about the Lord Jesus Christ's death that they find, that gives them meaning, that gives them closure, as it were? It is finished. Well, when the Lord Jesus Christ says it is finished, these are not words to be grieved over. These are not words which we mourn. These are words of victory. Victory. It is finished. Words of victory. It is like, well, if I can make this parallel, it's like the end of a great war. We've had many great wars, well, two particularly in the last 100 years. And well, when it was finished, when the peace treaties were signed at the end, well, that was a cause for rejoicing. It is finished. All that war, all that violence, all that conflict, it's over. It's finished. Now there is peace. There is peace now. That is what the death of the Lord Jesus Christ meant. There is peace now. Peace is purchased by his death. His death means peace. We cannot have any peace without the Lord Jesus Christ. No peace for any man without the Lord Jesus. This is why there's no peace in this world in which we live in. This modern world has rejected God, and therefore it cannot find any peace. This is the great tragedy of the modern world. The modern world, with all its learning, with all its welfare, with all its riches, with all its technology, we can do wonderful things that people in past ages couldn't even imagine. But the great tragedy is, with all this learning and all these advantages, there is no peace. In fact, we live in a very, very insecure, uncertain age. Can anyone watch the news now, even today, and think we live in a world of peace? There is no peace in this world. In fact, it's possibly more dangerous than it has ever been. But we have to seek the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no peace because of sin. That is what the Bible explains to us. There's no peace in this world because of the way we are, because of the way man is, because of his bitterness, and because of his anger, and because of his envying, and because of his lying and stealing and covetousness. That's why there's no peace in this world, because of man's sin, because of our condition. So some people, they look for peace. They think, oh, if I maybe just run away and go to some sort of tropical island or something, then I'll find peace. Everything's peaceful there. But there is no peace there, because wherever man is, there will be sin. And sin means no peace. But sin, of course, means no peace, not just amongst ourselves, but no peace with God. There can be no peace with God while there is sin. Sin separates us from God. We have rebelled against God because of our sin. It's in our nature. It's in our nature to rebel against God. God is our creator. God has given us life and health and strength and everything that we have. But because of our sin, because of our rebellion, we don't want God. We want to rebel against God. We don't want his word. We don't want his laws. We are enemies towards God. There is no peace between us and God. And all because of our sin. And that's our greatest need, dear friends, if we haven't identified it. Our greatest need is peace with God. We all have guilty secrets. We all have guilty consciences. And we know, well, God is our judge ultimately. So we need to make peace with him. And Christ's death brings peace. It brings peace to us. How does it work? Well, let me explain this as simply as I can. How does the death of the Lord Jesus Christ bring peace? Well, this is how it works. We are rebels against God. We have broken his laws, broken his commandments. And we stand to be condemned by God at the end of our lives. We stand to be condemned because of our rebellion, because of our sin. And well, it would be right and just if God punished us for our sin, because we have sinned against him. But God doesn't want to punish us. God is a God of compassion and mercy. And so he has sent a way of forgiveness, a way by which we can avoid punishment. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He sent his Son to be punished instead of us, in our place, on the cross at Calvary. That is what he has done. Christ came to go to that cross to be punished for us. Instead of us as rebel sinners, as those who have sinned against God, Christ suffers and dies in our place. That is what he was doing on the cross at Calvary. That is what he bore, the punishment for all those who trust in him. So now, if he has been punished for us, well, then there is no punishment for those people who trust in him. There is no punishment for us. He went to the cross. He took the wrath of God. Now there is nothing to fear for all those who trust in him. Nothing to fear at all. No condemnation. We as Christians know that when we come to the end of our lives, there'll be no punishment for us. We are sinners, yes, but Christ took the punishment for us. He took it all. It's finished. We had a sin debt. We owed God so much because of our sin, but Christ paid it all on the cross. He paid it with his precious blood. So now there is no condemnation for us. It's finished. It's gone. We can now look forward with great joy and with great peace in our hearts to eternal glory. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. He's paid our debt. Well, do you have that comfort? Do you have that peace in your heart? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ in that way? You must, dear friends. If you go to the end of your life, well, you'll be lost without the Lord Jesus Christ, lost until the end of your days. And not just until the end of your days, you'll be lost eternally. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be lost eternally. What would have been the point of your life without Christ? When it comes to that finishing point, what will be the point of it? Nothing at all. But well, if you come to Christ, and I urge you to come, well, there will be a great difference. When your eyelids close in death, when we finish the end of our earthly journey, well, it is not the end. It's not the finishing point. It's only the beginning. If you trust in Christ, the end of your life, it's only the beginning. When we die, we go to be with the Lord. We go to the presence of the Lord. The same Lord who died for us, he has risen again, and he is now in heavenly places. And we shall go to be with him in those heavenly places. It won't be finished for us at all. We will forever be with God. There will be eternal peace, eternal joy. It will never be finished for us. Peace and joy and eternal life. Well, it's just the beginning for us. That is why every Christian can approach death in perfect peace. Well, I pray that that's your great comfort, that you can approach death in perfect peace, knowing that your sin debt is fully paid by the blood of Christ. I've been reading recently about the Reformation. Well, this year marks the 500th anniversary of the beginning of the Protestant Reformation. And during the Reformation, well, many children of God, many of those who trusted in Christ, they were put to death. They were persecuted under the reign of Mary Tudor, in particular, in this country. And I was reading of one such person, a man by the name of Thomas Hawkes, and he was sentenced to death, a dreadful death, just like the Lord Jesus Christ. He was sentenced to die burning at the stake. And, well, before he went to the stake, he said to his friends, his Christian friends, "I will show you a sign. Just as I'm about to die, I will show you a sign that the pains of martyrdom, the pains of death, are not too much to bear. Before I die, I will hold up both my hands in the air to show you that we can bear it, dear friends." And so the day came, 10th of June, 1555. The day came and he was taken to the stake and he was tied up and the flames were lit. And he continued in prayer, and well, the minutes rolled on, and the flames grew ever higher, and were beginning to engulf him, and his friends looked on very eagerly, but there was still no sign of any movement, and the minutes rolled by, and they began to lose heart. He's not going to do it, he's not going to do it. But you see, he wasn't finished yet. It wasn't finished, you see. Just at the very end, just as the flames were about to consume him completely, they saw his hands not only lifted up, but he clapped three times in triumph. Why did he clap three times in triumph? Well, I'm sure it came to him very strongly, very certainly, that even though he was about to leave this earthly life, it was just the beginning for him. He was going to go into eternal glory because he knew that his sin had been washed away. There would be no condemnation for him, just everlasting joy and peace. Well, is your comfort anything like that? Can you say that of your death, of your final hour? Oh, if you just come to Christ, come to him, say, Lord, I am a sinner. I have sinned against thee. I have a sin debt. But I know that it can all be cleared because Christ has paid the price for me. Oh, pray that in your heart and you shall be saved. It is finished, says the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our God, our gracious Heavenly Father, oh Lord, we thank thee that those words uttered by the Lord Jesus Christ means that we can know perfect peace with thee, that when we die, we know that it shall be the beginning for us because Christ has died in our place. Oh Lord, may these things be understood by each and every one of us. Forgive us all our sin. Wash away our sin debt. Bless us, Lord, how we pray. We ask it all in our Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen.